Hey, Reach Paramount, welcome to our podcast. We really hope this message encourages and challenges you as you walk with the Lord every day. Enjoy this message.
So, Father, I pray tonight that your word would go forth with power, and God, that your word would encourage us, strengthen us, challenge us, sharpen us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can take your seat. I always say I shouldn't have drank a cup of coffee before I came up here, but it's all good. It's all good. So if you're looking for a title, the title is mandated. And of course, my wife, Jennifer, love you. Thank you for just for your love, for your faithfulness, for always encouraging me. And thank you. Love you. And so, you know, in July, it'll be 20 years that we've been together. And so through the good, through the bad, we've stuck it out, and I thank God for her. I pray for her every morning, multiple times a day, because without her, she's helped to encourage me. And I even think about when we first met 20 years ago. We were both addicted to meth. She was like 90 pounds. I was like 150 pounds. We were broken. We were lost. We had no direction. We had no guidance. We had no goal. We had no ambition. And I just think what 20 years later, what God has done, he's restored us. He's restored us. He uses us. And I really owe him everything. Amen. And so I truly am humbled and honored to be able to minister tonight, especially from this pulpit. I don't take it lightly, because from this pulpit, the sermons that have been preached from this pulpit have touched my life in more ways than I can explain. The sermons that have been preached from this pulpit have equipped me and helped me in my walk with the Lord. Amen. And so I don't take it lightly. And so we understand that the battle really begins the moment that we leave this building. How many can say amen? And we head into a broken world. You know, it feels good during worship and the presence of God is moving. And, you know, but the battle is really when you head out these doors and you head back to your jobs, head back to your families and into society, into this broken world. That's when the battle really starts. And I like what Paul says. Paul writes in Timothy, he says in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, you must understand this, that in the last days, there will be violent periods of time. People will be selfish and love money. They will brag, be arrogant, and use abusive language. They will curse their parents and show no gratitude, have no respect for what is holy, and lack normal affection for their families. They will refuse to make peace with anyone. They will be slanderous, lack self-control, be brutal, and have no love for what is good. They will be traitors. They will be reckless and conceited. They will love pleasures rather than God. And they will appear to have a godly life, but they will not let its power change them. Stay away from such people. And it's pretty evident that we are living in what the Bible calls the last days. It's pretty evident. We are living in a day and age where they are calling evil good and good evil. And in Esther 4:14, it says this, the fact is, even if you remain silent, now someone else will help and rescue the Jews, but you and your relatives will die. And who knows, maybe you have gained your royal position for a time like this. And so if I can echo the words that Mordecai gave to Queen Esther, is that even in this crazy, broken, fallen world, this is not the time for the church to be silent. This is a time for the church to rise up. And I'm here to remind you that you, just like Queen Esther, were born for such a time as this. That you and I could have been born in any period in time, but we were born here and now. And so you were born for such a time as this to be a light. Amen. And one thing that I've realized in throughout the years is that if something is important to God, it probably should be important to me, right? And how many know people are important to God? Souls are important to God. Families are important to God. And that's why the Bible says that he wishes that no one perish, but that all should come to repentance. And as believers, we have been mandated to do two things. Two things. Is one is preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. And two is make disciples. And I love our church. I love our church. I've got saved here, like I said. God transformed me here. And so I love our church. It's a great church. If this is your first time here, I want to encourage you. This is a healthy church. But we're talking about preaching and making disciples. And I just want to give a shout out to our outreach team, man. They have been hitting the streets every Tuesday. You know, Brother Jason, Brother Victor, Grace, and Robert, there's so many of you guys that have given up your Tuesdays and you're hitting the streets and lives are literally being changed. People are so hungry because this world is thirsty for more of God. And so thank you guys. Shout out to the outreach team. Listen, they meet every Tuesday at 6 p.m., different locations. I encourage you to get involved in that, amen. You might not be able to make every single one of them, but I encourage you, try to go to one at least a month, amen. And so as you were walking in through our hallway, you see that we have our value, our church values, right? And one of our church values is reach out. We are called to reach out. We are called to reach out to the lost. And I love this quote that Pastor Omar said. He said, the Great Commission is our mission. The Great Commission is our mission. And so what does it mean to be commissioned? Well, what does it mean? To order or authorize a person or an organization to do something or to produce something. And so the Bible says that we are commissioned. We are commissioned to preach the gospel. Raise your hand. Just do it, you know, be honest. Raise your hand if you're called to preach the gospel. Okay. Hallelujah. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, I got a newsflash for you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit in you, your hand should have went up because you've been called, you've been commissioned by Christ, amen? You've been commissioned by Christ to preach the gospel. And so Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 17, this is Jesus speaking, and Jesus says this, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miracles, these miraculous signs will accompany them, those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name and they will speak in new languages. And the second thing is we are commissioned to make disciples. Yeah. Impartation. See, we are called the things that God imparts into us, we have a responsibility to impart them into other people. And so what is a disciple? It's simple. It's a follower or a student of a teacher. And in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, this is Jesus. Jesus says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so here you see that Jesus has mandated each of us to preach and make disciples. It's not called the Great Suggestion. It's called the Great Commission. So it's not a suggestion, but it's a mandate that Jesus has given to the believer, right? You and I, we have been mandated to preach the gospel and to make disciples. And so I read this crazy statistic, and it said nine out of 10 of professing Christians have never personally led someone to the Lord. And so I read that, and I asked myself this question, why are 90% of Christians not witnessing? Why are they not witnessing? There's a couple of things that I came up with that I can think of. And one is fear. Fear of rejection. Fear of what people are going to say. You know, I'm reminded of a story. So I'm a driver. And, you know, one day I was making a delivery in Mid-City, Alvarado, at a Food for Less. And, you know, as I was getting my delivery ready, I seen a young lady. And she was standing with the dude. And I could tell that they, you know, they were rough. I could tell they were on the street, but I could tell that they hadn't slept. I could just tell that they were broken. And so I see them, and the Holy Spirit says, you need to go tell her that I love her and that she needs to go home. And I was like, what? And I was like, oh, man. So I'm getting ready, you know, I'm like, I'm wrestling with the Lord. And I said, okay, you know, I'm going to do it. And so I go, okay, Lord. So as I get out of my truck and I start to make my way towards her, the guy that's with her goes into the store. And so I said, oh, this is a sign. This is a sign, because I didn't know how he was going to react, right, if I go up there and tell her that. And so I go up to her and I said, hey, listen, my name is Johnny. You know, obviously you don't know me, but the Lord is telling me that he loves you and that you need to go home. And she just started to bawl right on Alvarado Street in front of the store. And I come to find out that she had, you know, got caught up in the wrong crowd, and she found herself in the streets. And that she lived in Simi Valley, and she was in downtown Mid-City LA hanging out with this guy who was no good for her. And so don't let fear discourage your witness. Don't let fear discourage your witness. She let me pray with her. You got to be a bold witness. She let me pray with her on the street, and I pray and I hope that she got restored and that she went back home. But don't let fear be hinder your witness. Amen. Another thing that I believe why Christians are not witnessing is that they doubt, right? They doubt God's word, or they might doubt themselves, or they might doubt that God can even use me. And so don't let doubt, fear and doubt, not only rob you, but you're robbing somebody else, right? And, you know, and one thing that I found that when I witness to somebody, or when the Holy Spirit prompts me, if there is a resistance or there's like a fear that tries to creep in, I know automatically right away, I got to do it. Because why would there be this fear? Why would this be this wall that just went up all of a sudden, right? And so when you feel that fear, like, oh, I don't know if I, you need to go do it. No matter where you're at, I've prayed with people in my middle of my job. I pray with people on the street. It doesn't matter. You just got to do it and obey and listen to the Holy Spirit. And don't worry about the outcome. Just be obedient to God and see what he does. Amen. You never know what you're going to do. I have a lot of stories about different outreaches. But the next thing why Christians, I believe, are hindered in their witness is sin. Sin. Maybe they're, you know, I don't want to be a hypocrite because I'm living a double life, or I'm caught in this sin, and there's this condemnation because you're dabbling. But friend, I want to tell you that you need to get it right if you are, because the moment that you're playing with that, you're hindering what God wants to do through your life to reach somebody else, and you're playing with your salvation is actually what you're doing. And so sin will hinder your witness. And another thing, a main thing, is laziness and inconvenience. Wow. Laziness and inconvenience, right? I know that Brother Jason has other things to do on a Tuesday, you know, 6 p.m. And it can be an inconvenience, but he goes and he does it. And so laziness and inconvenience will hinder your witness. Sometimes reaching out to someone will cause a delay in your day, but that's okay. I'm a poet, but didn't know it. I learned that from Pastor Omar. you know, another story is that I remember one time we was at the Arco, and Jen remembers this one. We were at the Arco, and I forgot we were going somewhere, but we were in a rush, or we were I forgot what it was. And there was a guy that I seen at the gas station, right? And I remembered him. I think I had prayed with him before, and I seen him, and we just wanted to get home, or we wanted to get to our destination, right? And I was like, all right, Lord. So go pray for him. You know, God touches him, man. And, you know, it was an inconvenience because we had somewhere to go. We had something to do. But I know that it touched God. He had an encounter with Christ right there at that AMPM on a laundry in Paramount. It was an inconvenience. Yeah, we were delayed. But God touched him right there, amen? And so I don't see him here tonight, but he's been coming off and on. But no, I'm gonna call him tomorrow. So don't worry about, you know, sometimes you're gonna be delayed, but I think the person is more important than that sometimes, amen? And so we must remember Jesus' promises. Last month, Pastor Omar, we talked about the promises of God. And one of the promises of God found in Matthew 28 is that he has given us authority and that he is with us to the very end of the service tonight. No, he doesn't say that, right? He says, I am with you to the very end of the age. Para siempre, por vida. The Lord is with you to the very end of the age, amen? And so you gotta take confidence in that. Hold on to those promises, amen? Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And you know what the difference is? Between the believers in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 and us is that in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is they were actually waiting for the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus told them, you guys need to wait there, wait till the Spirit comes, and then you're going to be and then you'll be ready to go. And so the difference between them and us is that we have access now. That you and I have access now to the Holy Spirit, wherever you are. We don't have to wait anymore. We have access right here and right now because we know what happened, right? What happened after that in Acts chapter 2, right? The Holy Spirit is poured out on the church on the day of Pentecost. And what happens? Revival breaks out in Jerusalem. And from that moment, the gospel began to spread throughout the region, amen? And from that moment, 3,000 people got saved and they begin to talk in new tongues. People begin to get delivered. People begin to get stirred and the gospel begin to spread throughout the world. And there was a fire that was ignited 2,024 years ago that is still burning today. Amen. That's what's happening here and now. Oh my God. Because the reality is, listen, revival will birth evangelism. You want to see how healthy your church is? One is look at their prayer room. Shout out, Saturday morning we have prayer. We're packed to the gills, but we you know, you always can come in. So the health of a church, you can guide it by their prayer room. Are they a church that prays? And are they a church that witnesses? Are they a church that evangelizes? So revival will birth evangelism. Evangelism will turn into new converts, and new converts will turn into disciples, right? Because there is a difference between, you know, convert and disciples. You know, I forgot, I don't know if it was Pastor Omar or maybe Pastor Ron Simpkins years ago, they taught this lesson on discipleship 101 and discipleship 201. And discipleship 101 was you come in, you're new convert, you know, you're getting fed from the pulpit here, you know, at your connect group or wherever you go. But then discipleship 201 is when you start to learn to feed yourself. You start to be able to feed others, right? Because the reality is in your walk with God, there has to be growth. Yeah. You have to grow. And so that wasn't even in my notes. That was a freebie, guys. And so, excuse me. But that's what the world needs today, is they need a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. That's what the world needs today. Now I work close to downtown LA. And so every morning I have to drive through these homeless encampments and these RVs. And as I'm driving at 4:30 in the morning, I just see these people, different age groups, and they're broken, they're hurting, they're lost. Some of them, they look like they're like zombies, you know? And I always pray, man, Lord, touch them, heal them. Because that could have easily been me. Thank God I had a family that never closed the door on me or never turned their back on me when I was bound in my addiction. And so I said, man, that can easily be me. But I recognize this. They don't need more programs. They don't need more money thrown at them. What they really need is a touch of the Holy Spirit, because a touch of the Holy Ghost will change that, will change them. Because in this room, I know a lot of people in here that have dealt with addictions, but all it took was a touch of the Holy Ghost, and it changed their life, and it set them on the right course, amen? And so that's what the world needs, is they really need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. In churches throughout the world, that's what they need, is a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. That's all we need. What we actually need, too, is we need believers to believe again that they are called. Right? You need to believe, and you need to know that you know that you know that you are called. Why? Because God's word says that you're called. God's word says that you are anointed. God's word says that he will use your life for his glory. Believers need to believe again that they are commissioned by Christ, that you and I are commissioned by Christ, that we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen? That's what the Bible says. And the thing with, you think about that, an ambassador is when they send their best. They're not going to send something. They send their best. God wants to send his best. You are an ambassador for Christ. And so you need to remember that. Amen. Romans 10:13 says this. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so you got to share your message. You got to share your testimony. Some of you have powerful testimonies. You need to share those with people. Share them with your coworkers. Share them with your loved ones. Tell them what God has done in your life. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Amen. You got the Holy Spirit. You've been commissioned. Amen. Don't be afraid. You know, one of my favorite stories in the Word of God is John chapter 4. And it's a woman, the Samaritan woman, that had an encounter with Jesus. I love that story. You know, she has this encounter with Christ and literally changed her life. Changed her life, changed her community, changed her village or her town. And all it takes is an encounter with Christ to do that. And so I'm just going to paraphrase the story, but in this story, Jesus is on his way. I believe he's on from Jerusalem to Galilee. And something is interesting is that Jesus went, because Jesus was a Jew, and a Samaritan was half Jew, half Assyrian, or they were just half mixed. They weren't fully Jewish. And so the Jews of that time, they looked down on people that were mixed, right? And so Jesus decided that instead of taking the long way and not going through the hood, right, Samaria, Jesus is like, I'm going to go through Samaria because I've came to save everybody, not just the Jew, but I came to save everybody. And so Jesus says, you know, I'm going to go through Samaria. Sees this woman at the well, begins to question her, begins to have interaction with her, begins to, you know, ask her questions, and he knows the answers. He's God. He's Jesus. And this woman begins to tell him things, and she kind of tries to hide. You know, you ever talk to somebody and they try to kind of hide stuff and kind of like not give you the full story? So she's trying to do that with Jesus, but Jesus he knows what's up. And so Jesus begins to talk to her, begins to minister to her. And you know, the one thing that I forgot to mention is that you see in this story, Jesus, he reached out to her. He took a detour and a delay. Right? And so remember, like I told you guys earlier, sometimes in order to reach someone, it's going to delay your day or it's going to detour you. But that's okay. And so Jesus he begins to minister to her. And, you know, the thing about this woman is that this woman was a broken woman. She was an outcast from society. You know, this woman, in the eyes of society, had several strikes against her, right? One is that she was a Samaritan, right? The Jews looked down on the Samaritans. Two, she was a woman, right? Jesus was not supposed to be having interaction with her because one is he was Jewish and he was a rabbi and he was a man. He was not supposed to be interacting with her at all. And also, she was a woman who had been divorced 5 times. And so she had all these strikes against her. Oh, and she was living with a man who was not her husband, right? And Jesus knew all of this. But yet, Jesus went to talk to her because he was concerned for her, because he cared for her. And he knew that she needed healing. And so he talked to her. And if you look at, there's so much that you can pull out of this story. I encourage you to read it on your own time, John chapter 4. But this encounter really displays and shows that the heart of God, that regardless of your sin, regardless of your shortcomings, regardless of your past, regardless of what you might be doing or you might be going through, that God loves you and that God wants, that God will come, he can come to save you. Jesus reached out to her. The Bible says that once Jesus revealed who he really was to her, that she immediately dropped her bucket. She stopped what she was doing. And what did she do? She began to share about her encounter and her experience with the Lord to others. In John chapter 4:39, verse 42, it says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did." And so when the Samaritans had come to him, they all urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there for 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. And they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." And all this woman did was she shared with people about her encounter with Christ. And what happened? It stirred up that region. It stirred up her town. Yeah. And Jesus stood for 2 days, and that led to other people having encounters. That led to other people being discipled and ministered to by Jesus. And so ask yourself this. Why can't the Lord do that with your story? Why can't it happen in your community? Why can't it happen in your family? It can. If you would just share your story. Share about God's goodness. Share about the love of Christ, of how he saved you, how he forgiven you of your sin, that you were on your way to hell, but because of God's grace and mercy, that you've been restored, you've been healed, and now you have a story, amen. And so one that had to do with preaching, but this next one is, think about this, right? How did you come to know Christ, right? And how did you begin to grow in Christ? Right? Someone had to preach and disciple the person who reached you. And someone had to preach and disciple the person who reached them. And so on and so on and so on. 2,000 years later, it still works and it's still happening. And so that's what you are called, you and I are called to do. That's what we are called to do. That's what we have been mandated to do. That's what we have been empowered to do by the Holy Spirit. See, God didn't empower us to just sit in our seat nice and comfy. He saved you to use you so that you can tell others about him. That's why he saved you. That's why he touched you. That's why he healed you. That's why he's restoring you. That's why he healed your brokenness. Because you have a story, and there's people, hundreds, thousands, if not millions of people, who have the same story as you, that are lost, broken, and hurting. But you can't reach them if you're too busy sitting on your seat. If you're too busy distracted, you cannot reach them. And so I would encourage you is to remember what Jesus says. I'm with you to the very end of the age. I'm with you. I've given you authority. He literally has given us everything that we need. Everything that we need is found in Christ. And so you don't have to be afraid. Right? God loves you. And God will use your life if you allow him to use your life. Amen. And so if I could just have every head bowed and every eye closed just for the next couple of minutes.
Thanks so much for listening to this message from Reach Church Paramount. To stay connected with us, follow us on Instagram or Facebook at Reach Paramount. To give and support this podcast and ministry, visit our website at reachparamount.com/give.